This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
You're listening to Feminist Current, making waves in the mainstream.
Let me clear space for you to sit beside me. You don't need your back against the wall.
You are listening to Feminist Current. I'm Megan Murphy. Karen and Gala Smith began counting Britain's murdered women, putting their names on her own blog, back in 2012. There were 126 women killed through male violence that year, 143 in 2013, and 150 in 2014. Last month, she launched the Femicide Census, which profiles women killed by men. I spoke with her over the phone about these projects last week from her home in London.
To start with, I wonder if you can tell me about this database that you've created.
Yes, there are two different databases. The first one is the one that I've been doing for a while, Counting Dead Women, which is one I've been just keeping on my own, collating reports from the media about women killed by men in the UK. And then the other one is the Femicide Census, which is a partnership between myself, Women's Aid, the National Domestic Violence Charity in England, international law firm Freshfields, and international finance and consultancy firm Deloitte. Freshfields got in touch with me a couple of years ago because they were wanting to do some work on women killed in domestic violence, and they were trying to find information about the number of women killed and the cases of women killed, and they were able to find no central data from the government. All they could find was my blog. So they got in touch primarily initially to get information about cases, but through our conversations, we realised that this is something that's lacking an official record of women killed by men. So we started working together, and they sent out freedom of information requests to all the police authorities and health authorities in the UK. And now we've built, and Deloitte then built a purpose-built database for us. So now we have information on all women, or we believe all women killed by men in the UK between 2009 and 2013.
And why is this information missing? You know, why did you need to go out and find it? Why isn't there already something like this? You know, you would think that this would be on record with the police department.
I think it's on record with the Home Office, but it's not made public. And I just think there hasn't been an identified need or interest. The statistic in the UK that two women on average are killed every week by a partner or former partner is really quite well known. But I think it's too easy to say that and to be disconnected to the reality of what that means. And I wanted to humanise that stat, to womanise it, and also create awareness so that we get an accurate picture of what's actually going on. And then thirdly, to raise awareness of it not just being about women killed by partners or former partners, that women are killed by men outside of those relationships as well.
Mm-hmm. It seems like one of the aims of this project is to debunk myths about male violence against women and girls. I wonder if you can talk about some of those myths.
Yeah, I think one of the main ones is that we're talking about domestic violence, domestic violence counts for usually between 50% and two-thirds of incidents of men killing women every year. And I think that when we talk about men killing women, that's the first thing that most people think about. And I think that's one, it's not so much a myth, but a misunderstanding that's quite common. And also there are stereotypes based on race, on culture, on poverty. And I want to just challenge that myth that this is about culture, that's something out there, that's something different, and also that this is a problem in working class people, that male violence against women cuts across all those barriers.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about that, you know, the idea that some people might say that it's just a cultural problem, as you say. What are some examples of that?
I think the most interesting example is that I can stand in front of a crowded audience and say male violence against women is a cultural problem, and there's a great intake of breath as if I've said something really wrong, and then I go on to say it's absolutely integral and systemic in mainstream UK culture. And it's as if people are surprised that I'm going to say something that it's... I think there's this notion that culture is something that's out there that belongs to other people, that it doesn't belong to all of us. And so people are surprised when we talk about culture in a way that means us, all of us, regardless of our differences. So I think that's one of the most fundamental misunderstandings of what culture is that needs unpicking. And I think there's also ideas that traditional practices or harmful practices are again something that happen elsewhere in other cultures, and people don't understand that we've got, I suppose, a cultural lens, so that what's normal and everyday for us, we don't accept that actually that's cultural conditioning. And so plastic surgery, harmful beauty practices, pornography, these are the use of prostitution. These are all cultural examples of male violence against women that are mainstream, and people don't recognize them as such. There's that the common understanding that what's mainstream is what's normal. It isn't culture, and I want people to understand that actually we are all cultural products.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a bit of a general sociologist beef rather than a male violence against women issue as well.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I wonder, you know, obviously every incident of male violence against women is horrible and horrific, but I wonder if in doing this work and working on this project, were there any particularly pertinent stories or incidences that you came across, stories that stood out for whatever reason?
I think one of the things that it's the pictures sometimes that some touch me in a particular way. I think sometimes we see pictures of women looking radiant and happy, and then you read a news report, a court report on the reality of their lives, and the disconnect is really something. Or the other example is when I see a photo of a woman, and the photo that the media have got a hold of, she looks really sad. She looks like, you know, she might as well have difficult life tattooed across her forehead. And I know photos are just a snapshot in time, but sometimes they're the things that they're what I really connect to. When I read the detail of a beating, a death, a murder, I can't say that there's any one or any that stand out more, because really they're never kind, gentle deaths. They're all brutal and horrific in their own way. I suppose some things that do stand out are the rubbish, pathetic explanations that the media sometimes try to peddle. So whether they're trying to blame a woman's infidelity or benefits culture or people believing in evil spirits. One example in one newspaper was that the man was afraid of a Japanese knotweed, that's a sort of garden weed, invasion in his garden. So you read these stupid explanations away for male violence, but we never hear about male entitlement. We never see the context of male violence. We're lucky if they even see, say, domestic violence, male entitlement to women's bodies. The actual issues behind male violence are never what's presented as the explanation, and I think it's that strikes me, that time and time again I see headlines using any other explanation but male violence against women is cultural and endemic.
I wonder, you know, what's changed over the years in terms of legislation. You know, I know that laws have changed thanks to feminist activism, to the feminist movement, to the work of feminists. What's changed and what still needs to change in the UK in terms of the law around violence against women and domestic violence?
I think, I mean, the law's changing all the time, but I think the interesting thing to me, I've been working in domestic and sexual violence services for nearly 25 years now, is watching how male violence against women has become a mainstream issue. So it's not only, we're not only seeing legal changes, we're seeing policy changes at a more localised level. But what's also happened is that the feminist approach to male violence is being weakened as the themes have become more mainstream. Compared to 20 years ago, we might see more funding and we might see more regularised funding, although there have been cuts over the last 5 years. But what we also see now is less autonomy for women's services. As government and local government has put more funding in, they've wanted more control about the way that services have delivered, and they may push gender neutral services. We're driven towards what they define as acceptable targets rather than what our experience and what women tell us they need. So in some ways the environment for service provision has become less authentic and less needs driven rather than commissioner driven. I think as well that as funding has become more mainstreamed and there's a push to what might be described as professionalisation of services, that we see being a survivor of male violence become pathologised, that there's more of a gap between us as service providers and them as service users, whereas I think those of us who have been in the movement for many years were survivors or were deeply connected to survivors and activists and didn't have that sort of us and them approach. We were all women and we were all women together resisting and fighting against male violence in whatever ways we could.
I wonder, you know, what impact do you think that this project will have? You know, what would you like to achieve? What do you hope can be changed through these databases?
I want us to have more of an understanding of what's going on. I want them to be a research tool, whether that's for students and academics or policymakers, service providers, funders. I want them to be a really a good challenge of so-called gender neutrality. So for example, if we look at fatal violence in the context of relationships, one of the challenges I get all the time is it happens to men too, and that actually we should look at everybody killed in domestic violence rather than women killed by men. But I think the connections between women killed by men in any relationship and those killed by partners or former partners are stronger than those between men and women who kill former partners. So, for example, we know that far fewer than men than women are killed in the context of intimate partner relationships. In the last 3 years in the UK, 57 men were killed and 249 women were killed. But within that, there are important differences as well. Men are much more likely than women to be killed by a spouse of a partner or a love rival. So 14 of 57 men were killed in that way, none of 249 women. men are much more likely than women to have been killed by someone of the same sex. So 21 of 57 men were killed by a man. 1 out of 249 women were killed by women. And also, if we look at the previous history of the relationship, men tend to kill somebody after they've been abusing them for years. Women, if they kill a man, it's usually when they've been a victim of abuse for years. Mm-hmm. So I just want to get this information out there and understood, and this to be what's talked about rather than the myths. And I want us to see male violence against women as systemic and entrenched rather than a series of isolated incidents. And I want us to understand that if we are going to change things, we've got to go really far beyond the criminal justice system and look at much more basic assumptions about what it is to be a man and what it is to be a woman and what a relationship is. And I think gender is an absolutely poison issue. Masculinity and femininity are a big part of the problem, and I want to break that down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or not necessarily break that down, but get more people thinking about what we accept as inevitable and natural and what we could change if there was will to change.
And where can people go to find this information?
Well, the Femicide Census has its own web page, and I think that's going to be www.femicidecensus.org.uk. But because of data protection laws, we can't have that level of information open access. So people will have to request reports that Women's Aid and myself can pull down. The names of women killed by men since 2012 in the UK can be found on my blog. So that's just KarenIngalaSmith.com, or searching under Counting Dead Women. So just online at the moment. And I have a Twitter account where I talk about the women killed by men. And like many feminists, I've got a blog where I mouth out off against whatever feminist issues bothering me on that particular day.
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this work. It's really important, and I'm so glad that we had a chance to talk about it.
Well, thanks for your interest again, and thank you for everything that you do.
You just heard an interview with Karen Ingalla Smith, Chief Executive of NIA, a London-based charity providing services for women and children who have experienced sexual and domestic violence. Karen has been recording and commemorating UK women killed by men since January 2012 in a campaign called Counting Dead Women. She blogs at KarenIngalaSmith.com. You can find her on Twitter at Karen_IngalaSmith and at Count Dead Women. That is all the time we have for today. I'm Megan Murphy. Thanks for tuning in to Feminist Current. Feminist Current is a syndicated show produced by Megan Murphy out of Vancouver, BC, Canada. For more information on the show, please visit www.feministcurrent.com. If your station would like to air Feminist Current, you can find episodes at audioport.org or email us at info@feministcurrent.com.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy. Thank you.